Sound Opinions is supported by Goose Island Beer Company, brewing and barrel aging craft beer since 1988. More at gooseisland.com. We don't need to be the only beer you drink. We just want to be the best beer you drink.
You're listening to Sound Opinions. I'm Jim DeRogatis.
And I'm Greg Kott, and we are here at the South by Southwest Music Conference in Austin, Texas.
31st time this has taken over the Texas Capitol, Greg. My 26th year in a row here covering the festival.
27 for me, Jim. It's unbelievable.
You're older than me.
Two centuries worth.
And why do we come here, Greg?
We come here because this is the biggest music conference in North America. 2,000-plus bands are descending on Austin this week, in addition to tens of thousands of music industry types, as well as tech industry types, converging on this town to hold panels and to see band showcases, to get contracts signed, to get deals made, and to pontificate about the future of the industry.
There's a lot of that. I've got to say that for at least half of my 26 years, the corporations and the chaos have made it a challenge to find the heart and soul of the music at South by Southwest. A challenge, but not impossible, which is why we keep coming. This year, however, it's been kind of restructured as an overall, almost two-week-long branding conference where health and food and the digital interactive, which has overshadowed music for years now, and film. Oh, yeah, and then there's some music, mostly to entertain the corporate types from all those other interactive nonsense things.
I find it easy, though, to escape all that because there is this industry bubble at the convention center. And then you go see a great band, you know, blocks away from the convention center, and you realize, oh, that's why we come here every year.
I think there's a large contingent of the people who are here look at music as something to enhance marketing. And that's we are old school. That has never been our view. Music is a reason for living, pure and simple. I found some. I know you did. We're going to find more. And sharing our discoveries with the listeners is the best part of this show.
Yeah, Jim, besides the bands, there was also a lot of musicians here who had a forum to speak out in public. Among them, Chris Novoselic, the former bassist in Nirvana, speaking about a topic that people may not realize he's been very involved with for the last couple decades.
Yeah.
Voter reform, election reform. And he spent a good chunk of his panel speaking about this, and then he told some great stories about the old days. And we had an opportunity to sit down with Chris soon after that panel concluded.
Chris, you just spoke about...
Hello, Jim.
...politics. You know, redistricting and fairness in voting.
Yeah,
crusade.
It's about changing the way we vote, making things more inclusive, giving voters sovereignty, citizen sovereignty, and allowing people to vote for and elect candidates of choice and not go through the process of gerrymandering where elites, partisan hacks, political insiders cook the maps to benefit themselves.
You have been working in the dirt, in the grassroots on this for your entire post, pardon the expression, rock star life.
Yeah.
It matters to you.
I'm sticking with it. I started doing it like in about that time, 1996, recognized that the system's broken. And so I discovered this group, Fair Vote. That's about 1996. Yeah. I discovered Fair Vote. We're trying to get more on the radar, and it seems like we're gaining a lot of traction right now.
So... You're mobbed coming out of that room after your talk at South by Southwest, and kids want to have their picture taken with you. They were all 20-something. They were not as old as me and Greg.
Or me.
all of us. We are the same age.
Right.
You know, I teach at Columbia College in Chicago, and I have all these 22-year-old kids, and they're not impressed by anything except when I say, yeah, you know, I talked to Nirvana, right? That music... We grew up, the three of us, in punk rock, assuming that our lives had been formed and changed by punk rock. Are you seeing, Chris, a new generation that is having that's lives are being changed by rock and roll, their thinking is having an impact? Or is it just you were a celebrity, let me get my selfie with Chris?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to do that on a case-by-case basis. I still get that line. I've got it forever. Like, well, Nirvana changed my life. So, like, thank you. And I appreciate hearing that. So we'll see what, you know, what people are into. I don't know. And people are on along for the ride and whatever they get out of any kind of music. I love music and I listen to music like every day. I play music. And so however you want to connect with it and however you want to connect with Nirvana and whatever, you know, I was in Nirvana and I get to talk about like election reform to a whole full room at South by Southwest. That's because I was in Nirvana, not because I'm necessarily, you know, some law professor or anything.
Yeah. I think what you said today, you said some really good stuff in terms of recognizing the humanity in the person behind the label, the Republican, the Democrat. I wonder how that applied to music, because I remember when you guys were starting out, Kurt was adamant about us and them, and there was very much a divide between, you know, you knew who the enemy was or the person who was not, did not speak to your values. But you're saying now, you're advocating sort of, let's figure out a way to work together.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the way I feel right now. And I don't have the energy to be aggravated. I don't have the energy to be flipped out about Donald Trump. I just have the energy to be positive and try to have as much fun as possible. That's where I put my energy.
Chris, you have always been one of the most self-effacing people I have ever interviewed. So after this incredible experience, where you are, briefly, one of the most famous rock musicians in the world, right? And still, people
still
cry when they see you, and you changed my life, and all this stuff, right? You went back to college after May. I remember when I visited you in Seattle, when In Utero was coming out, you were so proud. You'd only bought two things with all that money from Nevermind, two jukeboxes. Rock stars, like, excuse me again, don't do that. They don't go back to college, and they don't go canvassing for state senators.
Well, I don't know. You know, I guess I'm supposed to be a rock star, and I try to be one the best I can. Even though I was at this libertarian conference sitting next to this economist who said he looked more rock and roll than I did. Like, who's the economist and who's the rock star? I'm like, oh, okay, I get it. So...
The one question I thought somebody would ask, and they usually ask of somebody who's been experienced as yourself in music and other things, if you had to talk to your 18-year-old self now, what advice would you give that guy?
Oh, my gosh. What would it be? Go to bed early.
Go to college
Don't
early
be the
maybe?
Last one out the door at the party. I always was. Yeah, go to college. Yeah, go to college. So.
All right. Well, thank you, Chris Novoselic, for taking some time at South by Southwest.
You're listening to Sound Opinions. I'm Greg Cott with Jim DeRogatis. We're reporting here from Austin, Texas, the site of the South by Southwest Music Conference. We just got out of the keynote speech by Nile Rodgers, founder of the band Chic, performing some guitar parts, showing how he wrote the guitar parts for Get Lucky.
And then I have another guitar part on top of it going...
And also speaking about the state of the music industry, he talks about wanting to write music for a million strangers. That was his goal in life.
Touching a million souls.
That's
is
right.
What he said.
His guitar teacher informed him that you're a big snob. You're coming from this jazz and classical background. It's time to write some pop music, Nile. And that's what Nile Rodgers devoted his life to.
Because that was so profound to me. I wanted to learn how to speak to the souls of a million strangers. I wanted to learn how to develop my voice that could communicate to people when I actually wasn't in the room.
I found it a schizophrenic speech, Greg, because I think touching a million souls comes from your own soul. And then he was bragging about how many Nike commercials he'd made and that the future of music is branding. I am unapologetically old school. I resent the amount of branding at South by Southwest. So half of his speech was about touching people and how at 15 he was given LSD by Dr. Timothy Leary and it opened him up to the universe, right? And then the other half was about selling out. You know, there's no other word for it, and being pragmatic and making a career. And the best people that I've seen so far in one night at the clubs and that I intend to see over the coming 3 days are making music because they can't imagine not doing it, and it's not this careerist path.
It was a strange message to hear, but I think a pragmatic one. He was trying to give the impression, I think, that he has abided by this rule of thumb for his entire career, that he, you know, don't be a snob. Get your music to as many people as possible in whatever way is possible. The industry is changing. The record companies don't have any money anymore, but the car manufacturers and the filmmakers still do. So why not work with them? Partnerships, he emphasized that idea.
Yeah, partnerships.
You know, the whole idea of creating music in a vacuum is anathema to him. You know, it needs to be heard in order to come to full life. Whatever you need to do to get it out there, he's saying, go ahead and do it.
Nike commercials, I've done Budweiser beer commercials and stuff like that. So that in today's world of partnerships, that I think that a lot of these brands that are out there are going to start to use music the same way they use in Japan. Like in Japan, you can break bands with a new product, with a really cool television commercial. When I first started gigging in Japan, I used to notice that they give the artist credit right on the television commercial. And this was like 25, 30 years ago.
Well, he is a great artist. There's no denying that. Don't get me wrong. Look, I remember the days when you'd have Lucinda Williams and Johnny Cash and Steve Earle as keynotes, giving this message of we're here in opposition. I wanted more opposition. You know, there was one line at the end of the speech, now more than ever, we need some art, you know, and Roland Swenson, the director of South by Southwest, set it up and said, you know, art is why we're here and what's holding us together and what will keep us together. That's the message I want to hear. That's going to be my South by Southwest, what I'm looking for.
Jim, I think that message of the power of music to unite was on full display with the Contraband Showcase. That was a lineup of bands representing the majority Muslim nations targeted in the Trump administration travel ban. Somalia, Sudan, Iran, these countries had bands and artists on that stage. You heard it all week, actually, at South by Southwest. A number of bands, a number of artists speaking out about this issue, but it was more focused that particular night. The first band to take the stage was a soul band, Basil and the Supernaturals, led by Syrian-American Basil Al-Mudami.
I'm running from myself again, quite a living apparition, surely disheveled.
I asked about what he hoped the showcase could accomplish.
Well, I think it's a big deal to have a showcase like this on a national platform. You know, especially the Syrian community and a lot of the Arab and Muslim communities have been fighting a lot of the issues and racial profiling that's come up in light of this ban. And honestly, a lot of the work that's been done over the last 16 years since 9/11 to address the perceptions of the Arab and Muslim communities in the U.S. So I think by being part of South by Southwest officially in this respect gives us the opportunity to present this on a national platform and to say, look, this isn't an acceptable point of view to ban an entire group of people. We provide so much to this country, and that's what I'm out here to represent.
That was Basil Al-Mudami of Basil and the Supernaturals talking about the Contraband Showcase at South by Southwest.
Greg, now it's time to get to our favorite part of the annual South by Southwest show, when we come back and share with the listeners all the music we found and loved down in Austin. You know, generally speaking, Greg, we try to split up and see as many bands as possible. We don't share our lists with each other in advance. And you always have this look of sadness on your face when we do happen to wind up in the same place at the same time.
Disappointment, I think, is the word.
I guess. Maybe you just don't want to be with me after all these years on Sound Opinions. We did wind up together at the small club Maggie Mays for this band, Dude York. You know, the club was capacity 50, but this band played as if there were 5,000 people in that room.
Yeah, I like the fact that they were having fun with the whole idea of being an arena rock band playing in front of like a few dozen people
at 8 o'clock.
And you know, the songs justified it. They remind me a lot of early Weezer, sort of that power pop flair with melodies. but also some theatrical touches. You know, there was a moment where the bass player and the guitarist were sort of playing each other's instruments, you know, in the middle of like a big solo.
Well, and this is a Seattle trio, and the climax at the end of their set was full on Nirvana, you know, throwing the instruments around, feedback. It was wonderful.
So they're trading vocals, Peter Richards on guitar and Claire England on bass, and a great drummer named Andrew Hall. Great tight pop songs and a really fine record recently released called Sincerely. You know, it was produced, you know, very well and very precisely by a guy named John Goodmanson, who's worked with a lot of really fine bands. But I thought the performance blew away the recorded music that we saw. And it was a real revelation to see this band.
It is. But this is a song from the record. It's called Love Is by Dude York on Sound Opinions.
In the back of the van.
After a short break, more of our favorite bands that we discovered at South by Southwest. Stay tuned. That's in a minute on Sound Opinions from WBEZ Chicago and PRX.